The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve'amen. Daf Mem. Today's daf is being studied L'Lun Nishmat Mor Zekeni, Yosef ben Sarah, Ve'marat Zekenati, Yafa bat Sarah. Olun Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Hashem Tenihem began Aiden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashrema, Moshe ben Dina, El Narefan Alo, for the Nefesh, for the Guf, for talking about the Vechen Yenosom, and Oman, Amen. We begin today's daf. On Lamed Tet Amud Bet, we are actually about 25 lines up. We want to start from the beginning of the Sugya, and it is parallel to the Tosafot Velo Meshalem. If you draw a line straight across, you'll start with a Braita. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn in a Braita. Shor Heresh Shote Vekatan. You have a Shor that belongs to a Heresh. Heresh is somebody that is a deaf mute. Shote is somebody that does not have knowledge. A Katan is a minor. Shenaga, so one of the Shor of these people went and gored somebody. Rabbi Yaakov Meshalem Hatzi Nezek. Rabbi Yaakov says, you pay Hatzi Nezek. Well, actually, the language is Rabbi Yaakov Meshalem Hatzi Nezek. Rabbi Yaakov pays Hatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov Ma'avite. What did he do that he has to pay Hatzi Nezek, Rabbi Yaakov? Ela, Ema, say like this, Rabbi Yaakov Omer Meshalem Hatzi Nezek. Rabbi Yaakov says that you pay Hatzi Nezek. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the case. Bemai Askinan. What is the case? Which means you're telling me that you pay Hatzi Nezek. Just tell me Meshalem. We know if it's a regular case of a tam, we know you pay Hatzi Nezek. Why did he have to say the words Meshalem Hatzi Nezek? The words Meshalem would have been enough. So the Gemara says, Ibetam, if it's talking about a regular tam, Peshita, it's Pashut, Dekola Alma Nameh Hatzi Nezek Ud Meshalem. They always pay Hatzi Nezek. What do they have to say Meshalem Hatzi Nezek? Ve'ibimu'ad. And if we're talking about the animal is a mu'ad. Now, before I continue, you have to know, which really we're going to analyze this later on in the Gemara Yot. There's a whole mahloket amongst the Hachamim when you have an animal that's, let's say, a mu'ad, so you have to watch it to make sure it doesn't gore. So there's a mahloket, how much do you have to watch the animal for you to be patur, which is if you watched it and it's still gored, then you're off the hook because it wasn't your fault. There's a mahloket, do you need a shemira me'ule? Do you need a very good watching? Or is it enough to have a shemira pechuta? Or is it enough just to have a basic watching? So again, we're going to get involved in this right now a little, but just note it's a mahloket later on. How much shemira do you need for a shor mu'ad? So the Gemara says, and if we're talking about a mu'ad, I de avdi le shemira. Klal, which means if, I'm sorry, Eid Avdi le Shemira, if you gave the animal, you made it a Shemira, that she says, Me'ule, meaning a good Shemira, and I'm reading that she, Vinifritza Balayla, and it's still busted out in the middle of the night, or Shepertsu al Listim, or robbers broke it out, and therefore you patur from paying full Nezek. So the Gemara says, Klal Klal lo ba'el shluma. You don't have to pay anything. You don't even have to pay Hatzi Nezek. Because if you watch the animal properly, you wouldn't have to pay anything. The Eid de lo Avdi le Shemira. And if you didn't do a Shemira Me'ule, but you did a Shemira Pechuta, which is, means you're negligent, you didn't do the proper Shemira, Kule Nezek ba'el shluma, then you have to pay full Nezek if it's a Mu'ad. So therefore the Gemara is asking me, Manavshak, what's the case of the Braita that Rav Yaakov is telling me that you pay Hatzi Nezek? In the case of a sort of a Heresh or Tevek Katan. Amar Rava. So here's the first answer of the Gemara explaining the Braita. Le'olam bimu'ad. Oh, we're talking about the animal was a mu'ad. It means it gored already three times. Ve'ache b'may askinan da'avde shemira pechuta. And really, you didn't do a good shemira. You did a shemira pechuta, an inferior shemira. You just, let's say, blocked it with a door. But that's not enough. Now, ve'lo'avde le shemira me'ula. Also then the question, if it's a mu'ad, you should have to pay Nezek Shalem. Why then are you only paying Hatzi Nezek? Okay, what else is, Rabbi Yaakov, Savar la Kerabi Yehuda. he holds like Rabbi Yehuda de Amar that says Tzad Tamut Bimkoma Omedet. Now what is this shita of Tzad Tamut Bimkoma Omedet? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi first of all says Shemira Pehuta. Let's read that Rashi, a couple of lines. Na'al b'faneha kara'ui. You close the door in front of it. Va'amrina nekaman, delet sheyechola la'amod beruach mitzuya. Yeah, it's a door that can stand on regular winds. Ve'zeu kara'ui, va'ini shemura pehuta, it's l'ruach she'ena mitzuya, which means it's a watching, but it's an inferior watching, because a good watching would be a door that can stand even against gust winds, even strong winds. So he did a shemira pehuta. So the Gemara says, and in this case over here, he's going to pay hatzi nezek. Now the question is, why is he going to have to pay hatzi nezek? So I'm scrolling down in Rashi, and Rashi says like this, Vashmi'in an hacha, that Rabbi Yaakov sava like Rabbi Yehuda. Damar b'shili pirkin, that he says later on, b'mu'ad sagile b'shmina pehuta. Oh, that for a mu'ad, it's enough if you have shmina pehuta. So really, you don't have to pay full nezek. Because why? Because you did a good shmira. But the Biyuda also holds the following rule. Tzad tamut b'mkoma omedet. That the tam remains in place. Which means, even though it's a mu'ad, it'll still pay hatzi nezek like a regular tam. Which means it doesn't get upgraded to become a mu'ad that has to pay nezek, because she did make a shemira pehuta. But don't think you don't have to pay anything. Sad tamut b'mkoma omedet. That still stands. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov meant, that you have to pay hatzi nezek. Because first of all, he holds that the case was talking about a mu'ad. And he also going to be Yehuda where you made a shemira pehuta, which is enough. Oh, so do you have to pay anything? No, but he holds sad tamut b'mkoma omedet. And therefore you have to pay at least hatzi nezek. Good. Oh, but we're not finished. The Gemara says, "Besavala k'Rabbi Yehuda de'amar mu'ad sagi de'bishmira pechuta." Very good. And he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says, "A mu'ad, it's enough to have a shemira pechuta." "Besavala k'Rabbanan de'amre ma'amidin apotropos le'tam ligbot migufo," which means we learned on the earlier daf. It's a machloket if a chedesh shoteh v'katan has to pay if their animal gores. So we're following, obviously, we're saying you have to pay hatzi nezek or to be Yaakov. So obviously we're following the shita that says you have to pay. So this is the Rabbanan shita that says that the administrator of the chedesh shoteh v'katan's animal, which we call him an apotropos, he gets warned by betin, and therefore he's going to have to make the payment and for the chedesh shoteh v'katan, and they take it from the animal of the chedesh shoteh v'katan. Because we have a rule, hatzi nezek pays migufo. Migufo means you pay from the animal. Let's say the animal is worth $500 and the damage was $1,000. So you pay hatzi nezek, you give the animal to the nizak. So this opinion is holding that if an animal of a cheresh shoteh v'katan damages, they have to pay. They pay migufo. They pay from the animal itself. So that's the Gemara. So let's just review. So according to this Braita, we have a clarity. The Braita is a Yaakov. The case is talking about a mu'ad where he made a shemira pehuta. Tzad tamut b'mkoma omedet, and we're following the shita that says, according to the rabbis, that a cheresh shoteh v'katan has to pay hatzi nezek megufo. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye comes along and asks, Vela pelige? You're telling me that Rabbi Yaakov of the Braita holds like Rabbi Yehuda? They agree. What do you mean? I'll show you that they're actually arguing. What do you mean, why? Ve'hatanya, we have another braita. Keep this in your mind, this is braita number two. Ve'hatanya, shor shel cheresh shoteh v'katan. You have a shor of a cheresh shoteh v'katan. Shenagah, again, same case, it gored. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Ve'rabbi Yaakov omer hatzi nezek u demishalem. Oh, so you see what? There's indeed a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda's mashma, you pay nezek shalem. And Rabbi Yaakov is saying you only have to pay hatzi nezek. So how could you say, Rava, that they're not arguing? We have a braita that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are indeed arguing. Amar Rava bar Ula, mash mechayev Rabbi Yehuda, piresh Rabbi Yaakov. Which means they're not arguing.
All it says in the Braita was the Bi Yehuda Mechayiv. Doesn't say how much is Mechayiv. Rav Yaakov explained that which Rav Yehuda was Mechayiv is Hatzi Nezek. So therefore Rav Yehuda is really being interpreted by Rav Yaakov, and therefore according to Rava, the two Braitot are not arguing with each other. Both Braitot are talking about the same exact case. And the Hiddush is that you pay Hatzi Nezek. So comes the Gemara and says, Ul Abaye de Amar Pelige. Oh, but Abaye said no. He held that they are arguing. He held that the Bihudan and Yaakov, they are indeed arguing. So the Gemara is, Bemai Pelige. What is the argument according to the Bihudan and the Yaakov according to Abaye? Amar Lecha, Hacha Bemai Askina. You know, we're talking about in the case of the Braita. Bemuad Velon Natre Klal. Ah, the case was talking about the animal is a mu'ad. But what? You didn't watch the animal at all. You didn't even give it a shemirah, pehuta. You were negligent, you didn't do anything. Rabbi Yaakov sabala k'Rabbi Yehuda behada, upalig ale behada. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one regard, but argues with him in another regard. How? Sabala k'Rabbi Yehuda behada. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one regard. The ilu. Rabbi Yehuda savar tzad tamud b'mkoma omedet, which means he agrees with the Yehuda on the tzad tamud business, which means really he is a mu'ad, and on the mu'ad he always holds that the tzad tamud remains in place. Upeligi ale behada, but he argues with him on another point. The ilu Rabbi Yehuda savar ma'amidim lem apotropos letam nigbot megufo. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says what, that if a cheres shotev katan. Damages, if they're sure damages, they take the payment from the goof of the animal. Rabbi Yaakov savar en ma'amidim velo mishalem ela palga demuad, which means we're learning the machloka differently now. Let's learn the machloka now according to the way Abaye understands it. Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda arguing in the Braita. Braita says what? The shore of the cheres shotev katan damaged. Rabbi Yehuda says you pay nizik shalev. What's the case? The animal was a mu'ad. Okay, very good. And you know what? You didn't make a shemirah at all. Okay, you didn't make a shemirah at all. That's it. You have to pay nizik shalem. And therefore, it's regular mu'ad, nizik shalem. Rabbi Yaakov agrees and says like this. He's not agrees, he argues and says like this. He says, I agree with you that a cheder certificate have to pay damages. I agree with you. But I hold over here that this animal that did the damages, the Gemara says, the Yaakov says, right, that you don't pay megufo shel of the animal. Rabbi Yaakov holds like the opinion of Sumchus that we learned earlier that says, if the animal of a cheres shotev katan damages, you don't pay from the goof of the animal. You don't pay from the goof of the animal. Oh, but what? This animal is a mu'ad. So half the animal is, the tam side of it is from the animal, and the other half is paid from regular money. So therefore, when Rabbi Yaakov said you're paying Hatzi Nezek, he meant really you're supposed to pay Nezek Shalim, because it was a mu'ad. But what? You can't pay Nezek Shalim because Sad Tamut Bimkoma Omedet. Because when you're paying a mu'ad, the tam remains where it is. And therefore, on tam, the Hedosh Tavikatan doesn't pay, because that comes from the animal itself. So all you have left is the other half, or the other half to have to pay with money. So therefore, he argues and says, according to Rabbi Udandis Braita, no, you pay mu'ad, you pay full nezek, and finished. He says, no, I hold the tam remains where it is, even though he's mu'ad now, but the tam remains where it is, and on tam, a chedesh tefillin doesn't pay, so all he has to pay is chatzi nezek, and then they'll pay from the regular funds. That's the way Abaye understands the Braita. Comes the Gemara and says, so that's why it says, Velo mishalem ila palga de mu'ad. You'll only have to pay the half on the mu'ad side. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rav Acha bar Abaye le Ravina. Bishlama le Abaye. According to Abaye, the Amar Pelige. According to Abaye, that says, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov are arguing. And what's the argument? Does a cheres shotev katan have to pay Hatzi Nezek from the goof of the animal? That's the machloket. So according to him, Shapir, the Braita is good. what do you mean the Braita is good? So let's look at Rashi. Look at the bottom Rashi on the page. Bishlam al Abaye Damar. Pelige Shapir. Mukila bimuad lematnita kamaita, which means the first braita that Yaakov said you're going to pay hatsi nezik. I'll tell you the case is talking about the animal was a muad. Oh, and he's a muad, and that's why he's going to pay only hatsi nezik, because on the tam side you don't pay, because Chedesh Tovich doesn't pay for that half. He'll only have to pay for the half of the muad, which means I understand why you told me the case of the braita is talking about a case where the animal's a muad. Because you're teaching me that what? The tam remains where it is, if you don't have to pay for that hatsi nezik on the tam side, and you'll just pay for the hatsi nezik on the muad side. So according to Abaye, I understand that's very good. Continue Rashi. The betam leka leukme. Because you could not explain that braita that was talking about a tam. Lashmina de ma'amidim apotropos le tam. Lashmina le ma'anita batraita. The amar en ma'amidim. Which means, clearly, we know from the second braita that Rabbi Yaakov clearly holds that you do not have to pay for Hatsi Nezik. So the first braita that says you're paying Hatsi Nezik must have been talking about a mu'ad. On the tam side, you don't pay, and you pay for the Hatsi Nezik on the mu'ad side. So everything's good according to Abiyah. The braita makes sense, meaning I understand why you had to establish the braita in the case of a mu'ad. Braita number one that said you pay Hatsi Nezik can only be in the mu'ad case. The tam don't pay because you don't pay Megufo and you have left a half. Very good. That makes sense. However, Ela Lilava, the Amar lo pelige. But according to Lava, Rava understood. Why does Rav Yaakov say you pay Hatsi Nezik? Because he held you pay from the animal. He held that Sad Tamut bin Koma Omedet, and he held what? That you pay from the animal itself. So therefore the Gemara is saying, Ademukila bimuad nukmi betam, which means why did he have to explain the braita that's talking about a muad? You could have learned the braita simply that's talking about a regular tam, meaning an animal of a cheresh or tevek katan that damaged, it's a tam, it pays hatsi nezik because hatsi nezik mishalem migufo, which means according to the way Rava's understanding that Hatsi Nezik, according to Rabbi Yaakov, pays Megufo, just learn the case. It's talking about a tam. It's a regular tam cash, and you pay Megufo. What did you have to learn the cases of Mu'ad, and you pay half? You didn't need all that confusion. Just learn simple. According to Rava, he understood that Yaakov holds you pay Megufo. So finish. Learn the case. It's talking about a tam. So the Gemara says, and how could you learn the case? Very simply. Say the case is like this, il Rabbi Yehuda, which means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says what? I'll tell you the case is talking about, the avid le shemira pechuta, which means, the case is talking about the animal is a tam, and Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you made a shemira pechuta, an inferior shemira, velo avad le shemira meula, so therefore, I'll tell you, you have to pay Hatsi Nezik, because the tam will have to pay Hatsi Nezik. Well, or, either Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that says a Shemira Pechuta is enough for a tam, so then I'll tell you the case of the law, Avida Shemira Klal, learn the case where you didn't make a Shemira at all, which means, learn the case is talking about a tam. And the case is, either you made a Shemira Pechuta according to Rabbi Yehuda, or you didn't make a Shemira at all according to Rabbi Elazar. But the point is, you didn't got to go to a confusing case of a Mu'ar and all that according to Rava. Just learn the case is a tam. Gemara said, now the Gemara just proves it. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer had tam v'had mu'ad, shesamram shemira pechuta peturin. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you did a shemira pechuta, by a tam you patur. So you can learn the case going to him where you didn't make a shemira at all. So comes the Gemara and says, the Gemara continues the question. Hakamashmalan, Rabbi Yaakov de ma'abdim lemapotropos letam, likbot megufo. Which means you could have taught me that chidush, that what? Braita number one. Rabbi Yaakov says Hatsi Nezik. According to you, Rava, you hold that Rabbi Yaakov holds that a cheresh tevek katan, the apotropos has to pay from the animal itself. So therefore, learn the case simple. Hatsi Nezik, tam, and you learn, and that chidush will be taught. What did you have to learn the cases of Mu'ad and Sad Tamut bim Koma Omedet, and for the Mu'ad side, you're paying the Hatsi, you didn't need all that. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le hachi ka amar. Yeah, Rabbah comes along and says, or Rabina tells Abaye, hachi ka amar. Hada di'it betarti ta'ama. Which means, the fact that I'm telling you was a case of a short mu'ad that pays chatzin ezek, I'm telling you there's two reasons. I'm telling you two chedushim. I want to tell you a statement that has two chedushim in it. Number one, that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Shemira Pechuta is enough for a tam, which means that he holds what? And so for a mu'ad, it's enough to have a Shemira Pechuta. And therefore, I'm going to tell you what. So again, I'm repeating. Amar le hachi kama. So he answered himself like this. Hada di'it betarte ta'ama. Which means, yeah, we said one case that teaches me two chedushim. The case was told me really it was a mu'ad. And you know what the chedush is first? That he holds like the Yehuda, that for a mu'ad it's enough to have a shemira pechuta. Oh, that's a chedush, by the way. I didn't know that. Now you teach me that Yaakov holds like the Yehuda, that for a mu'ad shemira pechuta is enough. But he also holds what? Tzad tamut b'mkoma omedet. But the mutam stays where it is. And the second chedush of Rabbi Yaakov is to teach me that what? He holds like the rabbis that say, once the tzad tamut is b'mkoma omedet, you pay. And therefore the apotropos has to pay from the animal's goof. And that's why it said one statement that teaches me two chedushim. Number one, that a mu'ad, it's enough to have a shemira pechuta. And number two, that what? That an apotropos is obligated to pay for the chedushot of a katan's animal that damages. They pay it. Megufo. Comes the Gemara. And now says another answer to the question that Abaye asked above. Abaye, Rava originally said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov are agreeing. They're not arguing. Again, Rava was the one that said Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are agreeing. So then Abaye said, are they agreeing? What do you mean? We have a braita that sounds like Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. Because the braita says, short of a chadish tovich on that gourd, Rabbi Yehuda says, you pay, mishalem. Rabbi Yaakov says, you pay chatzi nezek. Rava answered, yeah, Rabbi Yaakov was explaining Rabbi Yehuda. That what Rabbi Yehuda said, mishalem, he meant chatzi nezek. Now Ravina is going to give a different answer. Ravina amar, Ravina says, no, that braita is a different machlok. Reshut mishana ika benayu, which means the machloket over there in that braita is as follows. When an animal changes reshut, does the animal reset and go back to becoming a tam or not? Kegon, like the case is like this. Tehava mu'ad, which means the apotropos had the animal of the chedesh of tevek katan. It was a mu'ad already. V'nitpakeyach ha-chedesh. And then what happened? The chedesh became a pikeyach. And v'nishtapah ha-shoteh. The shoteh became smart. V'igdil ha-katan. Which means the guys themselves changed. So now the machloket is like this. Rabbi Yehuda savar hareu b'chizkato. He holds that even though the person himself changed, the animal remains what it is. And if it was a mu'ad, it remains a mu'ad. And now it's an animal of a pikeach that damages, and we have to pay nezek shalem. Rabbi Yaakov savar reshut mishana. And Rabbi Yaakov says no. The changing of the person is like the changing of a reshut. And therefore the animal went from a person that was a shoteh, or the apotropos, let's say, now to a pikeach. Reset, therefore the animal goes back to becoming a tam, that's why he pays chatzi nezek. So that second braita is a different machloket in totality. The machloket is reshut mishana ono, that when the animal changes reshut, does the animal go back to becoming a tam or does it remain a mu'ad? Tanu rabbanan, we have a braita. New story. Apotroposim, the apotropos that we said has to pay for damages of the chadesh tovik that's animal, mishalemin min aliyah. We know that already. He has to pay from the best property, because the Torah says when you're paying for damages, you pay from metav, you pay from the best of the properties. So comes the Gemara and says, ve'en mishalemim kofir. Oh, now what is kofir? If an animal kills somebody, if an animal kills a human being, the Torah says you have to pay what's called kofir. You have to pay for that dead person, to the inheritors of that person, you have to pay what's called kofir. It's a certain amount of money. The hadush over here is, if a cheresh shoteh v'katan's animal kills somebody, the apotropos does not have to pay kofir. So comes the Gemara and says, man tana kufra kapara, which means, must be we're going like the opinion that says that the kofir payment is a kapara, that's why you're paying it, v'yetme la v'ne kapara ninu. And therefore must be, you're telling me that the yetomim, since they're minors, they don't eat kapara because they're not obligated in anything. That's why there's no kofir. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Berokai. Ditanya, we have a braita. Venatan pidyon nafsho. When it comes to kofir, it says, and you will pay pidyon, a redemption. Deme nizak. which means when you pay, when the owner of the animal that gores, he has to pay. So we say what? You're paying deme nizak. What is deme nizak? The amount of money that the dead person is worth, which means animal gore, the guy killed him. How much is the nizak worth? The guy that got damaged worth? So you pay that amount. That's one opinion. Deme nizak. Deme mazik. No, you pay the value of how much is the mazik worth, which means the ba'al ashur. So here we have a fantastic mahluk. When you're paying kofet, how do you judge it? Is it according to the nizak, the guy that died, his value, or the one that was mazik? Now what's the mahluk? What's the logic between this mahluk? So Gemara says, my love, behaka mepalgeh. Must be that the following is the machloket. The Rabbanan sabre kufra mamona, the Rabbi Yishmael ben Osh Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokah savar kufra kapara, which means, must be that the machloket over here is, how do you look at the kofir payment? Is the kofir payment a kapara payment, or is it a monetary payment? Is it a payment for compensation? Why? If you're telling me that you pay according to the mazik's worth, that means it's kapara. If you tell me you're paying according to the nizak's worth, that's monetary. Which means, you understand the machloket. Which means, we have a machloket, I have to pay kapara, I have to pay kofir. Okay, who do I evaluate? Whose evaluation is it? One says the nizak's evaluation, the one that died. However, you evaluate how much it's worth, you pay that money to the inheritors. Another rabbi says, no, you pay according to your worth, the owner of the animal's worth. So the Gemara wants to say, the mahloket in that subject is dependent on how do you look at kofir. If you look at kofir payment as a kapara, so that's why you pay the mazik, what the owner's value is worth, because you need a kapara for yourself, so pay your value to the family. And the other shita says, no, it's compensation, it's mamon, therefore pay the value of the guy that died. So the Gemara says, amara papa, lo, no. I can tell you everybody holds what? Really, the payment of kofir is kapara. So what's the machloket then? Rabbanan sabri b'dinizak shayminan. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osh Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokah savar b'dimazik shayminan. And the machloket is what? Where the evaluation is made. Is it made on the mazik side? Is it made on the nizak side? But everybody holds indeed it is a kapara. Oh, so the Gemara says, my Talmud Rabbanan, which means, according to the rabbis that say it's kapara, then why would you pay on the nizak side? If it's kapara, you should pay your worth, the worth of the baal of the shor. If it's kapara, why then the rabbis say you pay according to the nizak? So the Gemara says, they make a derasha. Ne'emar shita lemata ve'ne'emar shita lemala. Which means, we have two pesukim. One pesuk is talking about where an animal kills. It says, in kofir yushat alav. We have another pasuk that says, what? If an animal gores a pregnant lady, and the lady has a miscarriage, and the lady dies. So over there it says, what? That you have to pay. Now over there, who are you paying for? For the dead babies. The value of the nizak. So just like in the payment of the babies, you're paying for the dead babies that the animal gored, so too in the case where the animal gored a man and killed him, you're paying his worth. Because we have back-to-back pesukim, and it says the word yushat in both pesukim. So just like yushat by the case of the babies, you pay for the babies that the animal gored, the miscarriage, so too by the case of kofir, you pay according to the nizak. So the Gemara says, ma'ad alam b'dinizak, just like by the babies that gave that she gave birth to the stillborns now, you're going to pay for the nizak's value. Afghan, so too by the case of the animal that gored, b'din nizak. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osh Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokah savar, no, v'natan pidyon nafsho ketiv. It says pidyon nafsho, your pidyon, your value. V'rabbanan, in, yes, I don't argue. Pidyon nafsho ketiv, it is a redemption for you. Miyuki shayminan b'din nizak shayminan. But when you pay it, you're paying it to the nizak. Which is, Rabbanan says, I agree, it's a redemption for you. But how do you make a redemption for you? By paying the value of the guy that died. So therefore, everybody holds it's a kapara. Ela, what's the pshat? The pshat is, how do you get the kapara? Do you pay from the mazik side, or do you pay from the nizak side? Also, back to our subject that we just said before. Everybody will agree then, if a chedesh or tevek katan's animal killed somebody, since the whole payment of kofir is kapara, and these people are not bene kapara because they're minors or they don't have no da'at or they're yitomim, whatever it may be. So therefore, everybody agrees that the apotrobosos don't have to pay kofir for the animal of the chedesh or katan that killed. Because everybody holds it's kapara. Question is, how do you get the kapara? Is the kapara by paying how much the guy's worth who you killed, or paying how much the owner of the animal? That's machloket. But everybody agrees kapara. Comes the Gemara and continues.
Meshabach le Rava le Rav Nachman bederav. Rava was talking to Rav Nachman, and he said, "You know what? Bederav Ahabar Yaakov de Adam Gadolu." He said, "You know what? Rav Ahabar Yaakov is a very big rabbi." So Amar le. So Rav Nachman tells Rava, "Good. Lekshiyavol yadecha, have he iu yadi? I want to see how big he is. When he comes to you, bring him to me." Ki atal gabe. So Rav Ahabar Yaakov comes to Rav Nachman. Amar le. Rav Nachman says, "Be'aminai milta." Ask me a question. Ask me a question in halakha. Ba'amine. So he asked him the following question. Shor shel shnei shutafim, ketzad meshalmim kofer. You have a shor of two partners. Okay? And the animal killed. How do you pay the kofer now? What's the question? So the Gemara says like this. Meshalem hai kofer vehai kofer. Maybe you'll tell me they both have to pay kofer. Can be. Why? Kofer echad amar rahmana velo shnei kofrim. The Torah says you pay one kofer, not two kofers. Now, chatzi vehai chatzi kofir vehai chatzi kofir. If you're going to tell me each one pay half, can't be either. Kofir shalem amarach when I velo chatzi kofir. The Torah says you have to pay a full kofir, not a half a kofir. That was the question he asked Rav Nachman. Adiyati v'kamayen ba. So now Rav Nachman sitting, he's trying to analyze the answer to the question. Amar les Ravacha asked another question. Tenan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hayve erchin. What is Erchin? A person, let's say, donates his value to the Beit HaMikdash. The Torah gives every human being a certain value. So he says, Erchi alai, I'm going to give my value to the Beit HaMikdash. So it says, Haybe Erchin Mimashkenin Oto. That means the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash can go to the guy's house and take a collateral towards that money that he owes. Haybe Hatta'ot V'ashamot Im Mimashkenin Otam. But if a person, let's say, owes a Korban Hatat or Korban Asham, okay, the treasurer cannot go into the guy's house and take a collateral. So comes the Gemara and says, you know what the logic is? The logic is like this, because when a guy makes a donation, like an Erech, the Gizbar is worried he's going to delay. He's not going to pay it. So then we better take it. But when a guy owes a Korban Chatat, he's bringing the Korban Chatat because it's Kaparafim. And he's going to bring it. So then we don't have to worry about grabbing it. He'll bring it on time. That's the logic. So the Gemara says like this. His question was, Hebe Kofrim Mai. What about a guy that owes Kofir? How do you look at Kofir payment? Kevan de Kapara Ninu. First of all, it's kapara, like we learned earlier. So therefore, I'll say kehatat ve'asham dame, and therefore mechmar hamir elave. He's machbir. He wants to get the kapara, and therefore I'll say velo ba'ay mashkune. You don't have to take a collateral. Odilma kevan de lehavreu de ba'ay mitvele. Since he's not giving the money to God like a korban, he's giving the money to his friend, to the yorshim. Therefore, I can say mamonahu. It's really money. Velo legavawahu. He's not really giving it to God like a korban. Velo chamir alei. It's not going to be stringent on him. Ubay maskunen. Maybe he'd have to pay. Iname. Or another reason why I would say he's going to be lax. Kevan dehu lo hata. Since he didn't actually sin himself. Umamonehu dehazik. It was his animal that did the goring. So then he doesn't take it so seriously. Because in the case where he's bringing a korban, he did the sin. Okay, so he wants a kapara for himself. But maybe in the case of kofet, even though it's a kapara, but I didn't do the sin myself. It was my animal that did it. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Lo chamir milta alave ubayim mashkune." Maybe I'll say it's not so stringent, and therefore you have to take a mashkon. So he asked that question to Rav Nachman. So what did Rav Nachman answer him? Amar le shifkan, leave me alone. Estagar bekamaita. I'm still trying to figure out the first question you asked me, which means, the literal words means, istagar, I became silenced from the first question, which means you shut me up from the first question. Now you're asking me another question. I didn't figure out the first answer yet. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we go into another very interesting question in these cases over here. She'alo bechizkat tam. Okay. I go along now. I borrow an animal from my friend. Okay, I'm allowed to borrow. But what? I'm thinking that the animal is a tam, meaning it's a tame animal, doesn't gore that much, beautiful. And what happened? V'nimsa mu'ad. And all of a sudden, I find out that the animal is a mu'ad. Now, I didn't even know that it was a mu'ad now. So the question is, who pays what? So the Gemara says, Be'alim mishalmim hatsi nezek, v'shoel mishalem hatsi nezek. Finish, you split it. The owner pays Hatsi Nezek, and the borrower pays Hatsi Nezek. Good. Because, you see, the guy who borrowed it, he's only watching it thinking it's a tam. If he knew it was a mu'ad, he probably would have watched it better. He's thinking like that. Good. So therefore, the Gemara says, since he accepted upon himself watching it as a tam, he only has to pay Hatsi Nezek. And since the owners did not tell him, so they have to pick up the other Hatsi Nezik. Good, that's the logic of the Braita. So Gemara says, Hu'ad bebet Shoel. Now let's say the animal became a Mu'ad by the borrower. Ve'haziro lebe'alim. Now he returns it back to the owner, which means he got a Tam, and he returned back a Mu'ad. So the Gemara says, Be'alim mishalmim Hatsi Nezik, ve'shoel patur miklum. The owners have to pay full Nezik, and the borrower is patur from everything, which means the Gemara is going to really explain now. No, the Gemara is going to explain later on the logic here that this opinion is going according to the Shita that we learned earlier, Rishut Meshaneh. That once it changes Rishuyot, it resets the animal. And therefore, once already you're giving it back to the Baal, so therefore, the Shoel is going to be Patur. We're going to have this, and that's why the owners pay Hatsi Nezik, because it goes back to becoming a Tam. Again, we'll see that in the Gemara, but that's really the answer that the Gemara is going to say. Good.
Reset when you give it to
very good. That's the Gemara's question. He's going to ask that question. We'll see that question in a moment. Amar Mor. Now the Gemara begins the analysis. That was the Braita. Now let's analyze it. Gemara says, Amar Mor, She'alo b'chizkat tam. Case number one. You borrowed it when it was a tam. Or you thought it was a tam, at least. V'nimsam mu'ad. And what ended up happening? You found out it was a mu'ad. Ba'alim mishamim hatsi nezik, v'shu'el hatsi nezik. Gemara says, ve'amai. Now for the next few lines, the Gemara is going to go back and forth with claims that each guy can tell the other guy why he doesn't want to have to pay. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. The Gemara and the Braita said, 50-50. You pay if you pay if. Now the Gemara is going to go, let the borrower tell him, no, it's your fault. Let the other guy tell him it's your fault. Now what are the claims? We have to understand each claim. Gemara says, le'male, let the owner tell the borrower, Torah she'id, I'm sorry. Let the borrower tell the owner, Torah she'ili, aryeh lo she'ili. I borrowed an ox, I didn't borrow a lion. You didn't tell me your animal's a lion, it's a wild animal. Why should I have to pay anything? Which means, a lion is wild. I didn't borrow a lion, I bought a regular animal. Did I know this animal's going to be a wild animal? So that's why he wants to say I should be patur even from paying Hatsi Nezik. Now,
the bar should be patur.
Oh, that's what he's saying, right? Which means I only accepted upon myself to watch it to a certain level. I didn't know you're giving me a lion over here. Because you want to make me pay because I was lenient and lax in my watching the animal. I watched it according to what I thought it was. So comes again when I says Amarav, Hakav Maraskinan, Shekir Boshu Naghan. Okay, listen, he didn't think he was a Mu'ad yet, but he saw the animal was wild. So he can't claim that. He saw the animal had wild tendencies. Okay? So therefore you can't say, oh, I didn't know, I wouldn't have watched it. You knew that it was it had tendencies over here. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "V'ne'male, let him tell him like this: Tam she'ili, mu'ad lo she'ili." Now, what's this question? What's this claim over here? Okay, let's say the shor is a type of shor that does goring over there. Okay, now if he's a tam, obviously you need less shemirah than a mu'ad, which means still, with all that, let him have a claim. Okay, I saw that it has goring tendencies, but again, I thought it was a tam. Goring tendencies not, I still thought it was a tam. And therefore I watched it according to what I thought it was. You gave me a mu'ad. Let him start that claim. Gemara says, Mishum da amarle. Gemara says, because the owner could tell the guy, listen, sof sof, itam hava, palganiska ba'it shelume. Hashtanamiz, yishalim palganiska. Okay, so you thought it was a tam? And if it was a tam and good, how much would you have to pay? Hatsi Nezik. So pay Hatsi Nezik. Okay, you didn't know, we'll give you the benefit and all that. So what do you want to pay? You'd have to pay anyway, Hatsi Nezik. So pay Hatsi Nezik. We're not asking you to pay the full damages. Right. Makes sense. So comes the Gemara and says, V'nei Maleh. He says, no, not so fast. Itam haba mishtalem migufo. He says, nah. Tam, the law is, you pay whatever the value of the animal is. Meaning, let's say I damaged $1,000. Hatsi Nezik, I pay $500. The animal is worth $200, I just give him the animal. No. I don't have to pay more than the worth of the animal.
Than the half.
Than the worth of the animal. I owe $500. But the animal itself, that goat, is only worth $200. Mm. Take the animal. Mm. But you owe me three more hundred, sorry. That's what I mean. Tam mishalim migufor, not more than the animal itself. So the guy could come along and say, oh, hold it. If I was going to pay Hatsi Nezik, I wouldn't have to pay anything. I would just say, hey, take the animal. Now that you're telling me I have to pay Chatzi Nizik, it's Chatzi Nizik of a Mu'ad. And therefore you're asking me now for money out of pocket. So this is, you gave me, don't come along to me, oh, you wouldn't have to pay anyway. No, I wouldn't have had to pay. I would have paid Migufo and just take the animal. Now you're telling me I'm paying half of a Mu'ad.
For my own.
That's costing me. Ah, Mishum Da'amar Leh, Sof Sof, At Lav Torah Ba'it Shelume Lididi, which means, what are you talking? You would have to pay anyway because you had to give me back my shor.
Right, you still owe me.
You borrowed my, it's not your shor. You got to give me my shor back. So you had to pay anyway, Hatsi Nizik. It's not your shor. It's not you can say, I take the shor.
But if it's less.
Right? So the Gemara says, Venemale, let the owner, let the borrower tell the owner, Im Tam have, oh, he has another claim now. He says like this. Let the borrower tell the owner, Itam hava modina umepatrina, which means like this. Nah, he says, if it was a tam, it's an advantage. You're right, I'd have to pay and all that. But if I would have known, you didn't tell me it was a what, I thought it was a tam. And we hold, let's say according to one opinion, the payment of Hatsi Nezik is a knas. It's a penalty. Now we have a rule. Modeh b'knas patur. That if I admit on a penalty, I don't have to pay. Mm. So the guy could come along and say, listen, why did I have to pay? If I would have known it was a tam, I would have admitted that I did it, and I would have to pay nothing. The Gemara explains this. Gemara says, Va'afidu leman da'amar palgan iska mamona. And even according to the opinion that says, Hatsi Nezik is mamon, it's money, it's not a knas. Ne'male itamu hava ma'arik na'le le'agma. He could say, even according to the opinion that says the Hatsi Nezik is not a knas. So he cannot say I could have been mode to be patur, but he says I could have chased the animal to the swampland, and therefore I'd be patur also, because Hatsi Nezik is only paid from the animal itself. So I could have been patur. How? I could have taken the animal, shoot it away, would have been lost, you can't come after me, because it's only a tam, and the animal's gone, and I can... So you say, Mimman nafshach, I'm not paying the Hatsi Nezik. Why? Again, you didn't tell me it was a mu'ad. Now, if it's a tam, it's an advantage to me if it's a tam. Because even though with gourd, you tell me, no, you don't pay anyway. No, I don't have to pay. I would have been modeh. Modeh b'knas. And even if you want to tell me, no, it's not a knas, I could have taken the animal and sent it to the swamplands. Now, that's it. Go find the animal. I don't got to pay. Go take it from the animal. So I had a way to... I had a way out. Exactly. That's his claim. Good. So comes the Gemara and says... Oh, so you know what the case is talking about? The case is talking about the guy borrowed the animal. He thought it was a tam. It was a mu'ad. It damaged. Before the guy could admit anything, and before the guy could take the animal and send it to the swampland, Betin seized the animal.
Yeah.
So finish. So you don't have that claim. Yeah. You can't have that claim because Betin has the animal in its possession, and therefore you cannot claim along and say, I'm modeh. Too late. Once the Betin catches the animal, you're caught already. It's finished. And you cannot send it out. Oh, so now the Gemara goes the other way. Be'alim amay mishalmim hatzi nizik. Why do the owners have to pay the Hatsi Nezik? Why? Ne'malil, let the owner tell the borrower. Atfastel le torai bida man delo matzina le ashtoye dina bahadeh. Which means, let the owner tell the beddin, so to speak. You are holding my shor to somebody that I cannot take to beddin. Which means, now that Beit Din is holding my shor, I do not have a way to exempt myself from payment. Which means, if you would have given me the shor, if you would have given it to me, after the damages, I wouldn't have paid anything. And therefore you should pay the whole thing. What's this claim? Let's understand this claim good. We have to understand this claim good. The claim is like this. Beit Din was to face the shor, birshut ha-shoel. Good. So what's the owner's claiming over here? The owner's claim is over here. Ah, which means it's part of a couple of questions back and forth. The Gemara is saying he should have claimed like this. You gave the animal to this guy. So now you gave it to the... Beti Mustofes, the animal. Now I'm obligated to pay. If you would have given it to me, and I would have had possession of the animal, the guy would have to pay the whole nezik. So the Gemara says, why? That's not a claim. Why? Even if we returned it to you, you would have to pay also Hatzi Nezik from the animal. Which your claim is, you seized the animal. If you didn't seize the animal would have been by the Shoel, and the Shoel would have had to pay. It's not so. If we would have returned it to you, you would have to pay because it's your animal. Which is the fact that we seized it doesn't hurt your position, doesn't change your position. So Gemara says, he says, no. If you would have gave me back the animal, I could have sent it to the swamplands. Yeah. And therefore, I wouldn't have to pay. So the Gemara says, Mishum damale, sof sof, lav ma'aliyah, havi mishtadme. What do you care? If the animal's a mu'ad, you have to pay from anyway from your pocket. So even if you would have sent the animal away, a mu'ad pays from them. So what kind of claim is that? You still would have had to pay min ha'aliyah, right? So comes the Gemara and says, Haniha, hecha di itle nikse. Oh. This is all good where it's talking about where he has money. Which means, if he has other monies, so then already we could tell him you couldn't have sent it away because you would have had to pay and you would have had to pay anyway. That's only good in the case where the guy had money to pay. He has other monies. But let's say he doesn't have any other monies to pay, only that animal. So then already he could have claimed and said, listen, if you would have gave me the animal back, that's all I have in my possessions. I could have sent it out to the fields, and I wouldn't have to pay anything. Geez, you're right. If I had money in my pocket, you're right. I would have to pay regardless. But let's say I didn't have money. So I could have sent it out. So Gemara says, Mishum da amar le, ki hechi de mishtabdana le didach, hachi na me mishtabdana le ach. Mid Rabbi Natan. De Tanya, Rabbi Natan omer, minayin le noshe behavero maneh. וחברו בחברו, מניין שמוציאים מזה ונותנים לזה, תמוד אומר ונתן לאשר אשם לו. Let's discuss what we're talking over here, the famous case of שעבודת רבי נתן. What's the case of שעבודת רבי נתן? The case is talking about a case over here like this. Let's say, ראובן borrowed money from שמעון. And Shimon, so Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. So Reuven owes Shimon. And Shimon borrowed money from Levi. So therefore, the law is Reuven can pay Levi straight. Which means Levi has a shi'bud on Reuven's money. Again, Reuven borrowed from Shimon. So therefore, Reuven owes Shimon. But Shimon owes Levi. So therefore, there's a law called Shi'budat Rabbi Natan that Levi now can go get paid from Reuven. He can take his money. So therefore, similarly, in this case over here, once the animal gored, I'll tell you that the Shoel is only Hayav to pay Hatzi Nezik. Not anymore. Why? Because let's say, I owe you the Shoel. I'm the Shoel. Okay? Let's give the names. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven is the borrower. The lender is Shimon. And the one that got damaged is Levi. So, I am the Shoel Reuven. I owe the animal to Shimon. But Shimon owes the animal to Levi. And therefore, Levi is able to come and take the animal from me. And therefore, you have no claim to come along and say, true, let's say you had no money. So your claim is, well, if you would have given it back to me, I could have sent it out to the fields, I wouldn't have to pay. He says, no, once already it's by me, and I owe you, and you owe him, because you're the owner of the animal, so therefore, he's allowed to take it from me. And therefore, I don't have to pay it to you. So therefore, the shibud was on it from before. Again, let's get the language. Ki heka de mishtabdana lididach. Which is just like I'm obligated to give you back the shor, hakanami mishtabdana leheach, which means I'm also mishubad to give the money to the nizak, because you're chayav to give him the minizak, to give him the payment from Kontra Binatan. So therefore, basically, nobody has any claim more than the next guy over here. So therefore, let's just review what happened over here. The guy comes along and says, oh, I thought it was a muad. I thought it was a tam. Okay, so what do you want to do? I don't want to pay anything. You got to pay. You got to pay Hatsi Nezik. Okay, you got to pay Hatsi Nezik. Now, the other guy says, yeah, but what did you take the animal for? You held the animal. Now I'm stuck. I would have let it run away. So what's the difference? You would have to pay half still. Because bottom line, you got to pay from your pocket. So Gabbai says, no, I don't have any money. He says, no, it doesn't matter. Because once you're ready to face the animal, you're obligated, you're on the hook automatically. Because once the borrower owes you, and you owe the nizak, he could take the animal. And therefore, you would know where you were going to become patur in this case regardless. You would have to pay regardless on all situations. Okay, now we go to the other case. Hu'ad bebet shu'il. Okay, what's the case? Let's say he borrowed a tam animal, and then he made it a mu'ad. Okay? V'yachziro leba'alim, ba'alim mishlim hatzi nezik. The ba'alim pay hatzi nezik, v'shu'il patur miklum. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Sefar reshut mishana. The Sefar is teaching us what? That when it changes ownership, it resets. Because what happened? It was a mu'ad by the shu'il. You give it back, hatzi nezik, it goes back to becoming a tam. However, resha, reshut ena mishaneh. But in the resha, you see the opposite. Your question. Which means, in the resha, the case was what? He borrowed it, he thought it was a tam. Correct? Happened to be a mu'ad. So in this case over here, right, since it's in the reshut of Shoel, why do you have to pay Nezik Shalem? The Chara, once it goes into the Shoel's reshut, it should reset to become a tam. In the Reshah, you're talking about Nezik Shalem. You pay half. Why? Once it goes to the Shoel's reshut, reset, even if it was a Mu'ad, it should become a tam. So the Chara, the Reshah and the Sefa are contradictory. Amar Rabbi Yohanan Tabra, you're right. It is a contradiction. Nisha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. It's two different rabbis. The one that said the Resha did not say the Sefa. Two different opinions. Rabba Amar, Medresha Reshut Ena Mishana, Sefa Name Reshut Ena Mishana. No, don't break the Braita. You know what? Just like in the Resha, you tell me Reshut doesn't change, meaning just like when the Shoel gets it, it remains a Mu'ad, so too in the Resha also, changing of ownership does. Oh, so the question is, the Sefa, Hainu Tama. You know what the reason of the Sefa is? Mishum de amadle lav kol keminach de miyadet lil torai. Oh, a new item. The owner can tell the Shoel, you don't have the power to make my shor a Mu'ad. Meaning, I gave you a tam. You return to me a Mu'ad. Really, I'll tell you, changing means nothing. Changing does not reset. But in this case, you know why it resets to become Hatsi? Because I could tell the Shoel, you have no rights to make my animal. Well, what's the logic in that? He says like this. There's a big reshut, which means, as long as it's in the house of the Shoel will have to pay Nezik Shalem, no question about it. But when he gets it back, it goes back to a tam. Why? Because the Shoel cannot make it a Mu'ad. Finish. What's the reason? Because somebody that's not the Baal Ashor is not going to watch it as good as the owner of the Shor himself. Which means the guy could come along and listen, if I would have had it, I would have watched it the right way. You, it's not your Shor, what do you care? You turned it into a Mu'ad, you gave it back to me. You have no rights, through your negligence, to return me back a Mu'ad. Which is normally I'll tell you, the shoot doesn't change the status. But when I lend my animal to somebody, since you don't watch it as good as I watch it, so then you have no right to give it to me back. Good. That's one way of understanding. Gemara says, is another way of understanding. And we'll conclude with this. Rav Papa Amar, Midisefa, Reshut Mishana, Reshan Name Reshut Mishana. The opposite. Really, I'll tell you, you know why the Sefa pays Hatsi Nezik? Reset. When the ownership changes, you start again. Therefore, you gave me a Mu'ad, when I return it back to you, Hatsi Nezik. Oh, so the question is, why then when the owner gave it to the Shoel as a Mu'ad, it doesn't reset, you told me it's still Nezik Shalem. So I'll tell you, Hiddush. V'resha haynu ta'ama, mishum de kol makom sheholech, shem be'alav alav. Wherever the animal goes, it's called the owner's animal. Mm. Now here we have to split hairs. When you give me an animal, you lend me an animal. Yeah, you lent me your animal, but it's still your animal.
What?
So it's not considered a change.
So
therefore, it's still... But then the question is, why when I give it back, it is considered a change. Okay. So therefore, we have to split the hairs over it. So I saw the Mefarshim explain like this. Interesting explanation. They say like this, and we'll conclude. If Shalde Ba'ir, Biyot Ashur Etzel Ashur, when the short is by the borrower, Nechshav Kemo Reshut Meshutefet. It's like a...
Joint.
It's a joint. Yeah, I'm borrowing it, but you still... So since we have a joint, you never left my borrowing. You're still a part of my borrowing. You never left. So that you, which it was yours.
I stole it.
Yeah, it was yours. And now I joined you. Therefore, in that case over there, I'm not going to say it was a full change. And therefore, I'm going to tell you what. The case of the Resha is not going to reset. Masha'en Ken, once my borrowing is over, now I give it back to you, now it's a different position now. Because now I'm removing myself and you're the sole owner. So it changed. That's already changed. When I become a partner, I never left.
Right.
But once already the Shoel leaves, now already it went from a partnership to a sole situation. So therefore he wants to say like this. He says, which means, as long as he was there to make it a mu'ad, he was there fine. Once he leaves, the mu'ad leaves with him. Therefore goes back to the show. So they want to split it. In any event, the Gemara answers the Stebraita. That what? The Resha, let's just review this. Two ways of learning them. Either I can tell you what, the Braita, the one that said this didn't say that. Therefore, it's two different rabbis. Or I can tell you, no. The reason why in the Sefa, in the case of the Sefa, where he gets it as a Mu'ad, and he gives it back and it goes back to Hatsi Nezik, is because he could tell them, you don't have any rights to make my animal a Mu'ad. Or I could tell you, no, the reason why when you give it back it becomes a tam, because it resets. Also, why in the Resha didn't it reset? Because Shem Ba'alim Alav, I never left, I'm a partner with you. Therefore my name is still on it. Therefore it's not considered a Shinui. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen.